Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Welcome you to Missing Pages of History. The world will not get any better if we just let it be. That's just why we are inviting you to today's program on Missing Pages of History. We want to make it a better world for all mankind. In order to do that, we need to sometime have a reflection of our history to go backwards, to see what took place before, so we can learn from it and create a better prison for those who come after us so they will have a better future. This is what Missing Pages of History is all about. And today, our theme will be on speaking truth to power. What's happening today? Speaking truth to power. And we have some very interesting topics today, in which we want to give you a perspective that we hope that will enlighten you to get a better understanding on today's world. And to do that for us today, we have our historian, our contributor, and our analyst, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, we welcome you back to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you.
Emmanuel, you know, before we get to our theme today, speaking truth to power, and some of the subject matter we discuss, I would just like for you maybe to have a reflection a little bit on some of the words and themes that came from Missing Pages of History song that was written by Ted Pendergrass, Wake Up Everybody. What do you make of that, the message that was in that particular song?
Well, what I get out of that is that waking up everyone, a lot of minds are asleep. a deep dream. And dreams are realities. You try to make them realities. I was teaching a class based on suggestions, how life is considered a suggestion, because people suggest things to you to accomplish or to achieve. And we don't quite get there sometimes because of fear. We don't get there because of laws. The ruling class, the concepts of ideas, the good ideas, but can you put them in motion? And can those ideas be stabilized? And that's very difficult to do. Very difficult to do. When you are a slave immigrant, it's a different look on everything because of the hardships, because you have a defeated culture. What I mean by defeated culture, I mean your culture is borrowed. You copy it from someone else. You copy someone else's culture. And you improvise some of that culture. Because two names go together, freedom and opportunity. See, you might be free, but you don't have the opportunity. So that's the difference. It's very difficult to put those suggestions into motions, into action. A verb is a state of being and of action. Well, state of being is what most African Americans, blacks, people of color, we're in a state of being. Very difficult to get action, especially affirmative action. I mean, put some into motion, or put an action into motion. And those things that we really have no control over. Because of rules and laws, and because of the oppression. The oppressions are very, very real. That basically, you put a chokehold on opportunity, only for a few. So, again, we have to wake up. Wake up to suggestions. Wake up to achievements. Wake up to accomplishments. And wake up to opportunity. And who's making the rules? Who are making the rules? And who are mending the rules? We have to wake up and be non-supportive to negative rules. There's a lot of negativity going on at the moment, a lot. And you have to speak to it. You have to speak to it and exercise your suggestions, exercise your achievements and accomplishments. Be aware of who you are. And the limited opportunities that you do have into emotions. Because it's what you have to do someday. Emotions mean to protest, to vote, to stand up for what you believe in. Understand the affirmatives. Understand them. Affirmative mean yes. How many yeses are you getting when you go to try to achieve something or you try to suggest something? The song, Wake Up, we have to wake up. Wake up to the one things I just told you to do, wake up to. Opportunity, achievement, accomplishments, emotions, actions, protests, You have to listen and be, and also speak out. The whole thing is speaking out. Get a platform any way you can. Get a platform. But speak the truth, as our theme go today. Speak to truth and speak to the powerless. And we speak to the truth and the street, and to speak with power.
Thank you, Emmanuel. What we're going to do right now, as we say, our theme today is speaking truth to power. What's happening today? You know, recently there have been ongoing mass shootings occurring in hospitals and schools all over the U.S. And recently there were some decisions that were made in Florida based upon some of these incidents. The NRA and the Florida legislation some kind of way got together and supposed to address this issue by creating some new gun laws. Emmanuel, I'd like to hear your critique in terms of, based upon what have came out of this, out of these decisions in Florida, dealing with the legislation, how to deal with these gun laws and these incidents of these mass shootings. How can this be transformed, these laws, these rules, these policies, or whatever they have learned, how can that be transformed countrywide to deal with the issue on a national basis?
Well, the first of all is, at least Florida is hearing, and they're hearing two suggestions coming from the students, that particular high school, Parkland High School. And quite a few mass shootings, Las Vegas, Florida nightclub, Connecticut, Houston, theaters. It's everywhere, not only the school system. Even shooting last weekend, I think it was this week, at the Veterans Hospital in Napa Valley. I think the person did the shooting or the facility was holding a lot of aging veterans and PSD people, veterans. But holds about 1,000 people, I would say. I think 3 people got killed, and the gunman, I think, was the 4th person. So, to me, mass shootings, 3 or more, that called a triple murder, or you call it a double murder, with 2 or more. But 3 or more, to me, is when the gunman makes 4, so you're beyond the triple. Florida passed some laws that were signed by Governor Scott. It probably would help 3/4 of the battle with gun control. But the NRA is suing the Florida state legislature behind what happened. They raised the age of purchasing a weapon to 21. They banned a few things. They talked about arming staff and maybe teachers, get them trained. $67 million allocated for that. As long as you have guns and the capacity to shoot 180 bullets per minute, we're going to have all kind of problems. You can purchase those type of AR-15s, AK-47s. These should be banned. The law he signed was very fruitful. It didn't get to the, to me, it was on the fringe. It didn't get to really what's cause of what's going on. It's hard to kill 50 people with a 6 or 9 or 16 shotgun opposed to one that shoots 180 bullets per minute. That's why you have mass shootings, because of the type of guns they have, the type of rifles they have they can purchase. At the age of 18, this young man, I think, had 7 weapons, 19 years of age. What are you doing purchasing most of these weapons? They bring the Second Amendment into play all the time. Well, well, well. The Second Amendment, I don't think it calls out for AR-15s. It don't count out for different types of stock equipment you can modify to make them automatic. We're talking about warfare-type weaponry. So the what he did was good. The governor was pretty decent. It will probably go nationwide, but it needs more teeth. That's not enough teeth. You got to ban assault weapons. But that's a money weapon. That's a lot of money. And the National Rifle Association, of course, it's all about money. And NRA is, to me, goes increasingly out of touch with most American gun owners. They have more than 5 million members and quite a few corporations. They give them incentives and discounts. So they partner with those. The membership is very inexpensive, but I think it's about $40 annual membership. But again, you know, they give you 5-star savings on a lot of things, a lot of corporations. But again, we have renewed national attention to this particular incident that happened in Florida. The millennials are getting involved, and that's a good thing. The NRA can get met with opposition. I think they're going to hold a conference. I think the headquarters, of course, in Virginia. And like I said again, they're protesting there now. They have in Virgil there now, and they're protesting. But instead of the corporation give these 5 million people a very, very lucrative. And NRA is why they're so strong at what they do. They're real strong in Florida because of Governor Scott. He has an A-plus rating. But now they're suing him because, again, he's going against the sales of weaponry, warfare weaponry. At 18 years old, people purchasing weapons at 18. I have no monetary value of what that is between 18 and 21. I'm moving the age from 18 to purchase weapons. But it's got to be close to in the billions of dollars. Weapons cost a lot of money, especially AR-15s. The automatic weapons and the stock-type weapons to silencers, and not talking about the ammunition, go with this. And the ranges, all this is involved. It's a lot of money involved. It's billions of dollars involved. I think they contributed $40 million to the Republican Party, and they contributed $22 million to the Democratic Party, but to fight the Democrats against what they're doing. They didn't give money, but $22 million to fight it. So altogether, we're talking about $62 million that was out there to make sure that the NRA is supported. And supported by companies. A lot of companies, of course, they're getting away from them, basically, divorcing themselves from them. And they don't like this at all. But again, I think it's going to go nationwide. The protest is going nationwide. And I think that the organization will probably do some things they've never done before. They're going to probably eliminate some of the perks, especially the ones that just divorce themselves from them. Dick's Sporting Goods, Walmart, the big stores, basically said, we out of here. Some of the airlines are doing the same thing. And they're not going to suffer because of that. People are going to buy other goods opposed to just buying weapons. Warfare weapons. So no one is trying to take away the Second Amendment to bear arms, but the type of arms that you're bearing. See, that's the problem. We have to explain and amend the Second Amendment, maybe. Said these weapons, these guns, Second Amendment, do not apply. And list those weapons that do not apply. Warfare Avenue do not apply. So again, it's going to go nationwide. I think the millennials and the high school students and college students, especially the millennials, this is going to go on for the summer huge, and it's going to spread nationwide. And again, the opposition to the NRA, it's going to be very deafening.
You know, man, earlier you mentioned that it's not just limited to schools. So we know that I think the most recent mass killing, I believe, took place at some kind of hospital where they said a former military soldier went off and killed some people.
Uh-huh.
What is your finding as it relates to that particular incident? What is it about that incident that should cause us some alarm?
What it caused you to pause? It can happen anywhere where there's a lot of people or congregated, whatever. If they was PSDT, I don't know. Still been investigated, but three young women got killed there. I think with the administrators, whatever. They still haven't got the, you know, like I said, still investigated. But again, have another veterans hospital. And these are aging people and people that are, like I said, you know, chronic diseases to a certain degree, veterans, a veteran hospital. Now, we're really getting, you know, I'm like, wow. So you have no idea, it didn't happen at movie theaters, elementary schools, high schools, nightclubs, bars, military installations, anywhere. The only big cause, again, what guns do they have when they do that? Las Vegas? Concerts. So I know we're emphasizing the children, the schools, easy accessible to get in. You can't guard everything. It's all of us impossible. But when you have a culture since slavery, basically in the US of A, this is not going to stop. This part of the culture, police brutality, police shootings, this not going to stop. It's an unhealthy situation, but this is what it is. You have to get these streets, these guns off the street. That, you know, they are 15s. You got to get this off. The mass killings, two or three killings, it's not going to stop. This is part of our makeup. This is part of the American makeup. This is their culture. Old Western days, you can call it all, however you want to do it. Movies became this way. From the Dragnet to Adam 12, everything was shoot 'em up. From the cowboy, from the Westerns, from the Royal Ride, the Gene Autrys. The last of rules, all this is what it is. It's not going to stop. The word shoot means something. Hunting, those words mean something. What are you hunting? It's not going to stop. Prevention, you can cut it down a little bit. You can shave off of it, but it's not going to stop. It's in our culture to carry guns, the Second Amendment. Why? Because you took something that didn't belong to you. When you take something that don't belong to you, you need a gun all the time. This country was taken from the Native Americans by gun, by warfare. It's not going to stop. Is here. It's here to stay. Hatred is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. But you can curb it. You can turn it down because the weapons that are being used should not be on the streets and that should be in people's hands. Stop saying mental health and all this stuff. This is just a culture. This is our culture. We're part of the culture now. We're part of the defeated culture. We came without guns. We were taken with guns. We were shackled in chains. We're the only immigrants that came in chains. Only one, with guns. It's part of the culture. Guns kept us in line. We didn't like it, we shoot somebody, no problem. They call them outlaws. So we're a lawless nation. Part of us are lawless. We try to build on strong mores, strong laws. We always come back to the Second Amendment when somebody get killed. And all you have to do, all you have to say basically, in certain states, I feared for my life, self-defense. That's all, to use a gun to kill somebody. That's you going to court because of that. Self-defense. So understand that the God is what we do, what laws we pass, killings is not going to stop. This is our root. These are our roots. These are our roots regardless. The Second Amendment has to be amended. No one say guns for protection. No one taking your guns from you. But take certain types of guns from the society. You have to do this. Everything is not mental. Don't try to make it mental. But they're trying to do to offset it. It's our culture. We have a culture of hanging people, shooting people, brutalizing people, cruel punishment. This is our nature. So be aware. Always be aware of your surroundings and your history. Be aware of your history. And beware of the historical accolades that are played on people. Special people of color.
Emmanuel, before we go to our station break, I would like to you at least comment a little bit on this recent incident that just came to light. It happened about 6 months ago where a young man was jaywalking across the street. I believe it was in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it got elevated to the point where this young man nearly lost his life just from jaywalking. This whole issue of police brutality, where are we going with this?
Again, I'll repeat again, it's our culture. When you give a Caucasian or European or white person a gun and give him authority, he becomes a person of the culture that he derived from. Brutalization is part of him. Help yourself. From the medieval days, liturgical days, from biblical days, this is his makeup. Some of us copy that. But again, we have a defeated culture. We copy that brutality. Beatings, this type of thing. This is what it's all about. I heard a little bit about it. I don't like to expound too much on things of this nature because we know what this is all about. Police brutality is ingrained in our society. Again, a black person is and always will be the spotlight person, or the person they put in the spotlight. He just resigned, wasn't charged with assault, battery, this type of thing, or attempted murder. Those charges are not for them, basically. Those are not the basic charges for Caucasians or for Europeans. Those charges are basically meant for people of color to extend these charges in breath. But again, who put this young man on the police force? What was his qualifications? What type of training did he have? Don't matter how much training you get, when it's ingrained in your culture, it don't make any difference. Kill, basically. The militaristic mind of Caucasian Europeans is to kill, to maim, to brutalize, to laugh, make mockery of it. This is what they do. This is law enforcement. And they always got excuses why they do what they did. Jaywalking? How many people jaywalk? Leaving concerts, leaving fairs, leaving, you might say, car races, especially in Charlotte. Take over the streets. Cars got to stop. That's jaywalking all the time. You hear anything? No. I've been there. Seen them leaving sporting events, the Charlotte Hornets or the Panthers. People walking all over the place. Jaywalking is not even. See, this is the problem we have. Jaywalking for who? Who can jaywalk? See, I was defending this young man. I would shoot the pants off the police department, the city, would sue the pants off of him. He never had to work again. Well, this happens all the time. But again, this is not upholding no law. I just gave you examples of jaywalking. I lived in L.A. for 25 years. We lead the Laker games, the Ram games. I mean, people just walk. You got thousands of people just walking. Cars are basically held up. Police out there directing traffic. People come from all different directions. Jaywalking is abundant. But nobody says nothing. Of course, you're with a crowd of people that are walking, all different colors, all different nationalities. You're not going to bother that money. You're not going to bother capitalism when it's like this. And when they come in crowds, same thing. You think they get off at the corner and obey laws? No, they do not. I've been there. I've walked, they walked me thousands of times, leaving the Laker games, leaving the football games, the basketball games, UCLA, USC, yes. So that was, again, here we go again. Once you explain it like that, then they got a problem. They have a problem. But you got three talks, three people talking. You got the liberals talking, conservatives, which are basically Republicans, which are basically racist to a certain extent. That's who they are. They were racist, went underground, come back as conservatives. That's who they are. And you got to talk like a Republican. In Charlotte, they want the convention to be held there. But the biggest thing they said, you have to talk like a Republican to do the convention in Charlotte. This is what was said. You have to talk like a Republican. What type of talk is that? They're letting you know. Letting you know. To have a convention there. But I hope I answered your question. I try to put some meat on it about jaywalking. That was totally brutality. Hope he got some good lawyers. Threw the pants off the city. And like I say, it's recognized through the nations. It's on media, social media, everything else. This is still happening. Police brutality is still here. And like I say, that's not going away either, because that's in the culture. When you bring somebody here in chains with guns on ships packed like sardines, and you say they are not a, they're second-class citizens, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to, inequality is here to stay. It's here to stay. It's not going anywhere.
And on that note, we're going to take a station break here at Missing Pages. And when we come back, we'll open up our phone line, which is 818-337-0016. If you have any views or comments dealing with our theme today, which is speaking truth to power, what is happening, we'd like to hear your theme. I mean, hear your response to our theme as relates to the recent NIA and these gun laws that have been passed in Florida. We will discuss also this question of jaywalking. That's why I asked when we come back. We have some hot topics. On these hot topics, we're going to give Emmanuel critique, and we'd like to have your critique on the movie, The Black Panther. We're going to talk a little bit about this tariff that just was passed by the Trump administration, its effects, what you think about it, and many more ideas and topics that impacts our community. So right now, we're going to pause for this call, take the station break, and when we come back, we will open up our phone line. If you have any views or comments or questions, please hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last 4 numbers. But right now, we're going to the station break. When we come back, our line will be open, and we will discuss this question of how did you view or how did you see what lessons you can learn from this Black Panther movie, the recent tariffs that are passed by the Trump administration as relates to steel and aluminum, as well as the continuation of the Russian probe. These are some of the additional topics we'll discuss when we come back from our station break. We'll be right back, and you are listening to Missing Pages of History.
You got power within yourself. You are a power. You are a power. Understand the extensions of your power. Understand the extraordinary abilities that you have as a human being, what God has given you. Understand those. Understand hatred. Understand love. See, some of these words have parity. They come together as twins, love and hate. See, they come together, as always say, accomplish these. Accomplish love. You do that through marriage, or you do it by loving your neighbor like yourself. How do you accomplish that? Again, dignify your achievements. It's okay to brag sometimes of your accomplishments. Nothing wrong with that. There's a song called How Great Thou Art. See? How great are you? To be born is great. To be a living human being is great. But again, you have to audit yourself at all given times. Audit yourself. That's dignity. Audit your dignity. How you treat others. How you treat yourself. How you treat your body. What you put inside your body. Understand the three things of this living journey that you're living. Food, shelter, and clothing. These are the three major essentials of life. Extend on these three things I just said. Food, what you put in your body. Shelter, what kind of home you're going to have, where do you live, this type of thing. And clothing. What type of clothing you going to wear? Understand when it's winter time, wrap yourself up because of things that happen. The line items of flu, the line items of pneumonia, the line items of a cold that can be detrimental to your life. So understand your social stratification. Understand it. Sometimes you have to move. You have to move to betterment, to better yourself. My father told me something I just can't get away from it. He said, son, I was 10 years old. He said, there are poor people in the world. Always going to be poor people. But you try not to be one of them. You try not to be one of those people. And everywhere I go, I take it with me. But my father told me. See, the Bible speaks of honor your mother and your father, your days will be lengthened. It don't say son and daughter. It says father and son. He said, honor your mother and your father, that your days will be lengthened. I mean, it's going on 73 years. My days are being lengthened. Because what my father told me, education, fourth grade, high PQ, maybe a low IQ, but his PQ is over 200. If people know what PQ is, psychological quotient, which means basic common sense. He was deprived of opportunities, but his achievement and accomplishment because we taught him, we educated him. He thought he was a professor from MIT because we taught him, and he listened to his children. We made him what he was. He got buried with honors. He's in a mausoleum. He lived like a rich man because his kids, 12 of us, and we made sure that we took care of him. Honor your mother and your father. Your days will be lengthened. He lived to be 88 years of age. And we buried him like a king because he was our king. So in closing, dignity is what my father taught me. He says dignity is nothing but equal to respect. The two go together. They are pairs. They are pairings. Dignity with respect.
Okay, let's stop right there, Emmanuel. We have opened up our phone line. We have one of the listening audience who would like to come in now and share their comments or raise their question. We bring in caller 6029. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Caller 6029, based upon today's theme and some of the issues that we have discussed. Your question or your comments, caller. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. 6029.
Yes, thanks for having me. The theme of your program today, Speaking Truth to Power. You know, certainly there's nothing wrong with speaking truth to power. In fact, it's desirable. One of the ways in which we begin to really dissect the situation we find ourselves currently employed is that we have to understand objectively what's happening to us, why it's being done, and the history behind it. So, of course, speaking truth to power is always a good thing in terms of mobilizing people around critical issues. The bigger problem is, I think, is the question of organization. Once you educate people in terms of precisely what the problems are, the question becomes, what are you going to do? So organization becomes extremely important. But the problem in terms of organizations is a couple of things. One, I think in terms of organization, people have to be accepting, you know, the idea that simply things have to change. Secondly, I think people have to be intimately aware that the kind of change that we're talking about calls for sacrifice. The course reality is that when you talk about sacrifice, most people, you know, whether they may articulate the problem in terms of sacrificing, in terms of bringing about a resolution to the problem, becomes a different matter. So we got these two threads of thinking that exist in terms of our inability to organize folks. And the question is, of course, what can we do in terms of, bringing some kind of redress to these very real obstacles in terms of organizing an African community. Second thing I want to say, is, you know, one of the things is that, you know, when we talk about dignity, one of the things we have to understand is that it's fine to take the perspective that dignity is based upon the individual, but in fact, in a much broader sense, when we talk about dignity, we can't separate dignity from the social institutions, social and political institutions that exist. And so, therefore, to the extent that we see who we are or how we define ourselves, to a large extent, is dictated by the social institutions, political institutions that govern our lives. If we don't understand the objective reality that our people are faced with, then in that sense, the social institutions have much more credibility. Because social institutions have much more credibility, then they're in a strategic position to determine how we see ourselves. And so when we talk about autonomy, we start to talk about self-determination. Well, in the context of social political institutions, it says that your self-determination is determined by institutions of the nation. Then to the extent that you internalize that the institutions of the nation define your abilities or your opportunities to be self-actualized, determines what kind of moves that you make, strategically and tactically. So decision in terms of dignity. We cannot delude ourselves into believing that, in fact, simply because you got a good job, you got to make a lot of money, or you have a strong family background, then, in fact, that, in fact, should suffice that everything's going to be all right. It simply doesn't work that way. This is why one of the problems that we have in terms of organizing, because our people don't understand the intimacies, the complexities in terms of, you know, in terms of organizing. And if we don't understand those complexities in terms of how these institutions intertwine, how they impact the way in which we think, the way in which we behave, then we can reasonably come up with reasonable solutions in terms of which way forward in terms of society. So the problem is a bit more complex than your guests have illuminated. So this is the problem that we're talking about in terms of organization and society. So this question in terms of speaking truth to power is very, very good. There are much more intricate kinds of stuff that we have to begin to grasp. And I think on the superimposed upon that, I think the whole question in terms of class also has to be addressed in terms of which way forward. Because too many people out there who have the belief that because they got money, because they got a big house, a big car, they got a little quote-unquote status, then in fact their struggle is not the struggle of the masses of people. Reality is their struggle is the same. They just don't understand that. So this is the problem that we're having in terms of, speaking truth to power. It goes beyond just simply speaking but actually doing, and this is the fundamental problem that our community is having. I want to thank you for taking my call.
All right, caller. Thank you for your comments. And we'll try one more caller before we go back to our guest today. We'll give this caller an opportunity to speak if he has something to say. Caller, welcome to Missing Pages of History, 4298. Caller 4298. Question or comments?
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. It's very interesting. I think that this jaywalking problem in the Carolinas, I think that's a really, really a sign of the times that we've been experiencing over and over throughout the years, and especially the last few years, there's been more consciousness put on it. Put on this problem, this racist society we live in, where you just walking while black is the problem. I just found that very, very disheartening. And the police chief did offer to resign. I don't know. I mean, that fact that she offered to resign. Says she recognizes the problem, and so I don't know if that's the solution. But America has got to wake up someday. Thank you. I'll just leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla, for your comment question. Before we move on to a hot topic, Emmanuel, we just bring you back in response to what you have heard so far.
Well, the response is very good. A lot of it, again, was like jargon. People don't understand exactly our historical being here, how we got here. I've got to tell people exactly how we got here. We didn't get here through an organization. Organizing takes money. Organizing takes an abundance of people on the same level that you're on, basically, or trying to achieve the same thing. Again, it's about achievement. It's about accomplishment. We came with a family structure. They broke the family up. You came from Africa on a boat with chains. Got married like everybody else, tried to get married, whatever. On plantations. You were slaves. You're not your regular immigrants. Don't try to put them in the same conversation as an immigrant. You're a different type of immigrant. Your values are not the same as their values. They don't value as much. That's why things happen to you. You can organize all you want to. You're not going to change the ruling class, what they think of you. You're a second-class citizen, and you're in the confinements of their ruling class, whether you like it or not. It ain't about a house. It ain't about automobile. Try getting around without one. Try not, again, food, shelter, and clothing. Those are three essential things of this living journey that while you're here. You can't get away from that. Now, where you define shelter as a house, I do. Clothing, put the other intangibles on there. But these are three things that's spoke about in the Bible. Food, shelter, and clothing. That's what you have to become part of an organized society. This society is organized. And you're part of it, whether you like it or not. You're part of this capitalist system. It's not the best system in the world. No way. But it's livable. It has consequences. And as a person, you value yourself with dignity, with respect. You have to have these things. You got to bestow these things upon yourself, that you're a living creature. You're a living child of God. That whether you believe it or not, or this or that, all the other things that are intangible to you, understand the tangible things that you need to survive. Understand you have to do better. You have to do much better. Because life can be very cruel. But God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. What does the word abundantly mean? Understand the language when it's being used. Don't put hatred in the language and blame someone else all the time. The blame has already been there. It's been historical blame. Yes, we know that. How do you rise above that? How do you arrive above your social stratification? Through accomplishments, achievements, these are things you look at. But you're only going to be here for a short period of time. You came with nothing, and you're going away with nothing. People profit off of your life. Your life is profit. As I told people before I turn things back over to you, that the huge healthcare system and the major in that healthcare system are hospitals, are Medicare, are Medicaid, are medical facilities. What are they here for? That's big business. They're only here to extend your life. You don't have no money, your life will not be extended. That's what they're here for. They're here to extend your life only. And it costs to do that. So understand that. Understand again what dignity really is. You have to dig deep to understand dignity and respect. The two are pairing. You got to have both of those. Respect my dignity. You're saying, baby, respect me. That's what it means. Understand life is a journey. You're going to have crooks in the road, everything else. Sickness come with life. A lot of things that you don't like going to come with life. It has its ups and it has its downs. There's nothing pure about life. There's nothing pure. Understand that, people. Understand, my listeners. You got to keep those two things in perspective, dignity and respect. Respect yourself and respect the dignity of others and give them all the respect you can give them. Because, again, life is a structure and it's a journey. There's going to be some crooks in the road. There's going to be some wrecks. There's going to be some accidents. The main thing is to overcome. How are we going to overcome those? How are you going to overcome those? And social stratification, which is your environment, is part of your life. It's part of dignity. It's also part of respect.
You know, Emmanuel, I'd like to get your analysis on a couple of hot topics for today. First one is that, you know, there's this movie called The Black Panther that's been seen all over the world. What is your analysis, your critique of that movie? What kind of response have you heard from that particular movie?
I talked to a few people about it. Well, myself, I remember a great deal of anticipation within the American community in the United States when I first saw Spike Lee's movie, Malcolm X. I think it was released, in 1992. But 92, with social media, wasn't like it was today. It was 26 years ago. But the Marvel's Black Panther movie, this is something different. I grew up reading and idolizing the Black Panther comic book in the 1970s. And it was my favorite Avenger was the Black Panther. But still, I thought a lot of the recent weeks about why people are so excited about the movie, the Black Panther. Clearly I'm involved. I'm aware, and extremely active supporter of any of my people's struggle for liberation and justice. But this is a great movie. Everybody has to go see it. I will probably be doing some more excerpts on the movie as it plays, as I get more feedback from people. But I forget, again, I like the symbolic of it. People struggle for justice. And again, it's a fantasy Hollywood movie. But again, it's phenomenal. And I like the strong images that's in the movie. We have been seen in movies, for as I'm concerned, buffoonish. We also, different forms of media, we've been lacking character, and especially dignity. This movie has a lot of dignity. So within the context, I'm appeal to everyone, please go see this movie. It approached a $1 billion number worldwide. Some people have seen it 2 and 3 times. But again, it portrays plenty of strong and dignified African people living in Africa, and the type of images that our ancestors lived in. We're going to see this. Again, we're talking about the richest mineral continent in the world and the poorest continent in the world. How can that be? Everyone, please go see the Black Panther movie. I'll be giving critical reviews on my next show. I will give it more historical, because I'll learn a little bit more about it, be able to digest it more, and again, I can be more analytical about the movie.
And your thoughts on this recent signing by the Trump administration of these tariff taxes on the issue of steel and aluminum, how would that have an impact on this economy? Would it help or hurt this economy, from your understanding, Emmanuel?
So you're talking about the tariffs. Well, tariff is a tax. People just address or reference their tariff. But that's what it is. You're talking about 15% of the GNP. You're talking about some of the effects of the stock market as a whole. Are you talking something that's global? Who is our basic steel producers? Are Japan, Mexico, and Canada. They are part of the NAFTA program signed in 1992. The COR Corporation, Mr. Bossavi, I was on that committee in 1992, and he was the ambassador to NAFTA. I participated a lot in NAFTA, putting basically our products into China, into Mexico, and also into Canada. I moved quite a few products into those areas for cheaper labor, cheaper costs, so people can get paid. Retirement was very lucrative during that particular time. Incentives are very lucrative. Bonuses are very lucrative. The NAFTA program employed 6.5 million people, because, again, to keep capitalism alive, one of the major line items is cheap labor. It's all about labor. The tariff is going to affect a lot of European nations, because, again, we import and export to make things much easier for us. Walmart do not exist in the Targets of the world, the Sears of the world, the JCPenney's of the world, without imports. Some cheap labor. The Asian countries think it's 12 of them, that makes about 50% of our products. So we can buy at a lower prices. You know what it costs to make an automobile here in America if we made everything in America? You couldn't afford it because of the labor costs. We are basically about 15 layers of administrative costs, from the CEO down to the janitor. These countries have about 5 administrative costs. We got more than 15, not including retirement. See, our problem with costs is that we're paying 2 people. It's like a teacher. A teacher retires, you give them a check, and the person that's taking their place, another teacher, they have to have a check. So now you got 2 checks. You got one producing and one is not. It's like a police officer, a fireman. You got one putting fires out getting paid, and one who has put fires out getting paid retired. You got to get 2 checks. There's 2 checks going out, one producing and one is not. You're paying benefits on to both. See, at one time it wasn't like that. That's why our taxes are where they are. See, without taxes, capitalism don't work. Because you stay paying people, the people have to purchase. See, capitalism is a purchasing society. We have to go buy. That keeps capitalism alive. So the tariffs are going to take a huge, huge protest foreign nations. Price is going to go higher, especially on clothing. That's where most of your clothes are made. Especially on things, essential needs. The export industry, supply, more than 70% of our needs. 70%. Go in your house right now and look at things and see where they're made. Made in Taiwan. Made in the Philippines. Made in Pakistan. Made in Japan. Made in China. Well, well, well. So you can exist here and have a living wage, most of us, to exist. So the tariff is a form of taxes that we cannot have them raising prices or bringing stuff here. It's well to be made here if that's going to happen. These kind of prices will be coming at us. Things are going to be different, a lot different. If they start taxing, let's say bourbon, our wines, we're the largest consumer of wines and liquors, you might say, in the world. Very few places I've been to have happy hours. That's a drinking hour, so you can get happy. So you've been distressed at the office. So you stop and have happy hour for 1 hour. They don't say happy hours. They say happy hour from 7 to 8 or 6 to 7 some places. Well, well, well. You offer wings. Some offer boiled eggs, some offer, you know, pig feet and pickles, pickled pig feet, you might call them, at some of the bars. These some of the items they offer with that. Well, well, well. They're going to cut some of this out because they can't afford it because the bourbon is going to be too expensive. Can you imagine the ripple effect of tariffs coming from exports coming to this country? He's talking about 25% on steel, 10% on aluminum. Can you imagine how much aluminum that we use here? No one uses aluminum like we do. Nobody. Very few countries I've been into have even aluminum foil. And we wrap and step aluminum pans. Can you imagine? Steel is 15 to 20% of our economy, of building, from houses to buildings to automobiles to appliances. Can you imagine? And most everything is made overseas, from your Samsungs to your LGs to your Motorolas. All those things come from Taiwan, from Malaysia, from China. Can you imagine? They load up 18 planes per day, bringing freight from China here, bringing products in to our shores. Most of the containers you have on the shores are the Norfolk, Wilmington, the piers in New Jersey, New York. Those are owned by China. Loaded, those containers are loaded with items. Christmas time, that's all you see. There's hardly anything made here during Christmas time, from October to December. It was all foreign-made goods, toys, over 95% coming from overseas. And they're going to put a tax on that or a tariff on that. You won't be able to afford it. Your Christmas is going to go by the wayside. The regular American that makes a regular wage, $40,000, $50,000 per person, will not be able to afford it, along with the taxes you're already paying. So understand the tariffs. This is a bundle. It takes a lunatic to do something like this. And we have a president that's a totally lunatic. He don't read nothing. He don't understand anything. He just don't understand. This is a global effect. When you have over 80% of your product is being made in cheap labor countries, so your capitalism can exist. I get to the bottom line of stuff. People just got to skirt the issues. I tell you exactly what it's all about. Exactly how it impacts you. How it really impacts you. I don't care where you go and what you do. You go get a haircut. Look and see who made the clippers. Look who made the scissors. Who made the comb and the cloth go around your neck. Look who made the chair. All you got is the structure, the building that you walk in. You did that one. But that's all you did. Donald Trump, that builds the hotels as a marketing person. He don't own hotels. He just markets those. His steel that go in the hotels came from China. How many people know that? His labor force came from Poland. How many people know that? At $5 and some an hour. See, things that we don't know. That's why I like to do this, the radio show in the segment, things that we should know and things we don't know. Here is a guy that makes 30-some-odd products overseas. The neckties, Donald Trump shirts, they're made overseas. They're going to tax that. They're going to put a tariff on it. Now, what he has done, he's going to exclude Mexico, and he's going to exclude Canada. They are our biggest trade partners. Canada is our number one partner for steel and for oil and for energy. How many people know that? Alaska is not our number one for oil or Middle East. So all in Alaska goes to Japan. How many people know that? If you got oil coming through the pipelines, why do you need ships? Where the ships are going? They're going to Japan. I mean, how stupid can we get sometimes? If you got pipelines coming from Alaska, coming down through Midwestern states with oil, wait a minute. So why do you need ships there? Where the ships going? Ships going to Japan because Japan don't have any oil. So we supplying Japan with oil do the product that they do. You think you're going to tax automobiles coming here from Germany and from Japan, the Lexus, the BMWs, the Range Rovers coming from England, the Mercedes-Benzes? You can't afford them now. What's going to happen then? Please. The tariffs, we cannot have those. Because the consumer, the reform tax that they just gave us, is going to all go away. You will need that money to pay for the products that are coming here. Products of a necessity. Products that are essentialized. That we need, things that we need. It's amazing that he doesn't know this. Half our eggs come from China. Eggs. We're talking about milk coming from Venezuela. They're going to start taxing this. That's what they're going to do. So that's my takeover, inform some of my listeners to understand where I'm coming from. I try to give you some insight, the bottom line of what's going on. I'm not going to skirt the issues and make it hypothetical. I want to make it easy for you to understand what I'm saying. These products, from clothing, the major three the Bible talks about, food, shelter, and clothing, these three will be impacted. We're talking about food. We're talking about orange juice. We're talking about milk. We're talking about basically a lot of canned goods, from tuna to fish, this type of thing, things that we love, going to be taxed. We're talking about clothing. We're talking about jeans. We're even talking about perfumes. We're talking about jewelry. We're talking about these things being taxed. Food, shelter, and clothing. Shelter, of course, is buildings. It's houses. This is shelter. Understand the word shelter. What it means when the Bible speaks about it. Bible won't speak about things we have today because they didn't know about these things. But we should use the word shelter. Understand the word shelter. Understand the aluminum, the steel that's used in making these buildings, making these automobiles, making these appliances. Almost everything you use is all about these items I just said. Understand clothing. From shoes to jeans to coats to hats, umbrellas, the coats, things that we need, all going to be taxed. And we get them at very inexpensive at the moment. Walmart going to definitely going to speak about it because, again, you're talking about 1.3 employees. You're talking about the largest retail store in the world. And over 85% of their products come from foreign nations. That's how you can afford what you got. Over 500 stores. Just Walmart alone, over 500 stores of Sam's Club and whatever other things that they own that you don't know too much about, the retail stores that they own. I have some type of monetary gains in these particular stores. They buy a whole shopping center, and those stores get from them. So this is what this is all about. It's about tariffs, it's about taxes, and the two are the same. Not, you can't separate the two. A tariff is a tax. They use the word tariff for a certain reason. It's like a tar weight. By the word is T-A-R. Tariff, tar is a T-A-R-E. That's weight uncalculated. When you wrap something up, you're not talking about the wrapping paper. You're not talking about the box. That's tar weight. We're talking about what's in the box. They're going to be taxed. Understand. People understand. Listeners understand that this will not work. The cost will be passed on to you. The taxes that you got, the little $1,000 tax you got, the little bonus you got, just for an example, that's all goes away. You'll be taxed very heavily. The product will be taxed very heavily. And your taxes won't go up anyhow because, again, this is a capitalist nation, and again, 80% of the people in America live off taxes, some form of taxes. This is how it's done. Like I told you before, what it costs to run the government per month, $350 billion multiplied at times 12, is $4.6 trillion to run this government. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And this is plus, plus, plus. So when there's a catastrophe, like a flood, or like a fire, or like a hurricane, this is plus, plus, plus. This goes beyond the $350 million. And they borrow money from Social Security to do this. Because Social Security got $37 trillion. This is their backbone. This is who they borrow money from when they get excessive. We got a war we have to take care of. Multiple war will be taken. We're policing the world in 206 countries. That's where we're posted at. We have 170-some posts and embassies around the world. Little country like Qatar, Q-U-A-T-A-R, we have over 11,000 soldiers there and 10,000 civilians. How many people know this? Little Qatar. Little small country. I can give you plenty of the same examples. We got civilians, we're paying them huge money to be there. But they're all rich nations, and they help us police the world. And no oil coming up here from Iran, Iraq. We have our own oil. We got enough oil to last us 200 some odd years right here in this country. But to police the world and make sure we get our proceeds from these particular oil nations, we have to keep wars going on in those particular nations. We have to do that. We have to throw the what's going on from our nation. To make our nation survive, these nations make our nation survive. Because we build these nations up. These war-torn, that we build those nations up, we charge them lots of money. Lots of money. Most of the teachers in Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, most American teachers make over $100 an hour. How many people know that? A friend of mine teaches English there, $125 an hour. They make over $300,000 a year teaching English. Teaching English. Been there for 20 years, they're millionaires. And they're my buddies. I had the opportunity to do the same thing. So this is what you got to pay when you're overseas. They pay a lot of money. A lot of money. They pay you as all rich nations. So we got to keep that going. Not going to stop that. So things that we don't know, we're going to do subject matter on things that we should know and things that we don't know. It's amazing what it takes, the tenets of capitalism, what it takes to make it survive.
Back and on that note, we're going to have to stop you. We have rained out of time. We'd like to thank our listening audience for allowing us. And to remind you that you can hear Missing Pages of History every other Saturday on a biweekly basis at 1 p.m. Our next program will be March the 24th at 1 p.m. And also on that date, you'll be able to listen to our winners. We will be having our quarterly raffle drawing on the 24th. So if you haven't purchased your tickets, please do so. Contact a friend or you can go to our website to find out more information about our upcoming activities, such as not only our raffle drawing, but also we have an ongoing spring, winter T-shirt and cap drive that's going on. If you haven't purchased your T-shirt or your cap or MPH, please contact one of your representatives or contact us by going to our website, which is www.mphie.org. As well as remind you that our upcoming live TV show will take place this fall, starting September the 12th on Wednesday night, on Comcast and Vio, channel 36 and channel 95, from 9 to 10 p.m. We also have an open membership drive. You can come and join MPH now. If you are interested, please email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. Missing Pages of History 1 at yahoo.com. Until next time, let's continue to fill in our missing pages of history. We'll see you on the 24th of March.
Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force and truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee. Over me. We talk to each other in a friendship way. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Baptized birth into Richmond, where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walk, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came, my family tree, my family name. Some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Ishi, she went down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. My brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. You said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and you was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. For some strange reason, it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
Tennessee.